Call your attention to the announcements on the blue sheet in here. A couple things to highlight. We are still looking for a diaconate chairman for 2021. So if somebody has an interest in doing that, please reach out to Keith or Pam Rouse or call the church office. Dr. Yost will be out of the office from Christmas Day to January 2nd. She'll be back here in that. She's spending the holiday with her family, so some good family time for her through that. We will be taking down the Christmas decorations next Sunday, so if you can stick around and help take the Christmas decorations down, it would be greatly appreciated. Are there any other announcements? Looks to be pretty quiet. So with that, we have a prelude from Nick Grooms this morning. So let's listen to our prelude. Beloved of God, come to follow the way prepared for you.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace.
Once again, the earth is surprised at the manger as the glory of God transforms the commonplace.
We come to Bethlehem to see what God has made known to us.
Come, experience the wonder of God's ways. Marvel at life newly born among us. Please join in singing our opening hymn, Good Christian Friends Rejoice. Words are on the screen. Only one verse.
And gracious God, we have gathered this day longing to see your face, to hear your voice. We know, Holy One, that you are in the midst of us. Stir our hearts and minds to learn anew your will for our lives during this time of worship as we offer you our praise, saying the prayer that Jesus taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
I call your attention to the prayer concerns on the back of the bulletin this morning for all those who are suffering from illnesses and those that are in the shut-in. A couple joys and concerns to share with you this morning. Joy, first of all, 17 years ago on a cold, snowy, slick day, Nick and Maggie Grooms were married in that. And Nick reminded me that it was so slick that when Paul was outside, he fell down and his glasses fell off and fell into a snowbank, and so Paul didn't have any glasses for the rest of the weekend until he could get back. So a memory to kind of share there. So, Gillette. It was in Gillette. In that, Roger Cook had to go to the ER this Friday, Thursday, Christmas Eve. He had a foot problem. He was in the ER for most of the day and got back. Apparently they were able to take care of some of the foot problem. He still has a couple other health concerns they need to take care of, none of which is COVID. But because of the pain with the foot, him and Lorna haven't been able to get much rest. So I did talk to them on Christmas Day, and they were thankful for the phone calls that they'd gotten and the family that they have around to help them out. But Roger says, I'm just very tired. So in that, but he appreciates all the prayers in that for their health. Dorothy Smith had to go to the emergency room on Christmas Eve with chest pains. They ran a full gamut of tests on her, and in the end, they think what happened was is that she's been working with a physical therapist, and Dorothy may have overdone it and strained some muscles in her chest, and so that was creating the pain. I talked to her on Christmas Day, and she was feeling much, much better. But that being said, there's good news with that, and the fact is that she is feeling much better and that. But, of course, she had to leave Garden Square, go to the hospital, and then they took her back to Garden Square on Christmas Eve, and that, which means that she had to go back into 2 weeks of isolation in the deal. So if you know Dorothy in that, she will appreciate any phone calls that she gets just to have conversation with people. So, and she is so very thankful for all of the phone calls that her friends make to her while they have been quarantined inside Garden Square, and of course with Dewey being around in family. So are there any other joys or concerns out there today? Debbie. Okay, so one of the sandwich ministry participants, Leland, is not doing well health-wise in that. So, Paul.
Joy and a sorrow. The joy was that I talked with Susie Stewart yesterday, and she and Charles actually got to go be with their daughter Martha on Christmas Day, which was really nice. They get so tight in there, and she did just a relief to be able to get out and see other people. So that's a joy. Sorrow, I was fortunate to be able to go with Ed Struby's family to Lusk last week for the burial. It was very interesting to get there and to meet around 40 people that were related to Ed, or just two or three from Casper. But service went well. And the funeral service itself will be held in Casper next summer. They're looking at July right now, but they're looking at 4,500 people, and it probably won't be here. It'll probably be elsewhere. But but both things are important.
Okay, thank you. Any others? Seeing none and hearing none, let us turn to the Lord in prayer. O gracious and loving God, we are so ever thankful to come together during this holiday season to celebrate the birth of your Son. We know that through the birth of Him, we rejoice as a new beginning for each of us as we look forward to the coming year. We are so thankful for all the gifts that you have bestowed upon us, and we know that you are with us each and every day. Lord, we ask you to be with those who are suffering from isolation, from physical needs, and the families as they try and work their way through the sorrow of losing loved ones. God, we know you are with each and every one of us as we go forward, and we are so very appreciative of all that you give us. Lord, show us the way to be more like Jesus as we move through the world in the coming months and year. In these things we ask. Amen.
As disciples of Christ, it is our tradition to invite all followers of Jesus to join in the celebration of Holy Communion as just one way to celebrate our given unity in Jesus and His church. Let us sing Infant Holy, Infant Lowly.
And as you may recall, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread and, having given thanks, said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray.
God of history, who is always with us, we come into your presence at the beginning of another year to praise and give thanks. May we in these moments of communion resolve to live each day of the coming year, seeking to follow more closely in your way. We eat the bread and drink this cup, O God, in rededication and commitment to make this a new beginning. Amen. Every minute of every day, God is making all things new, giving and giving and giving again. And you are called, we are called, to be part of God's work of generosity. You are called to give, and give your time, talent, and treasure to this God work of making things new. We are called to give. The morning offering will now be given and received. We bless you and praise you, eternal Christ. Bless now these gifts we bring. Multiply them to do your work upon the earth, from our doorsteps to the ends of the world. Bless these gifts and these givers. Amen.
Chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while the wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit trees of every kind on the earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And so it was. Our second scripture reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And the last scripture reading this morning is from the book of Matthew, verse 27, verses 45 through 53. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with the sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. These are the words of God for the people of God. So, I told the morning group, I can't stand standing up behind there. It's just funky to me. So, and I know I can't come out and wander around like I normally do, walk around, so I just sit up here on this stool here for, and that. So it's kind of like almost like a fireside chat. So, kind of a funky group of scriptures, huh? In that, you know, different parts, different things around, not really your typical normal Christmas stuff. But as I was thinking about this for today, I thought, you know, how many times have you picked up a book and started to read a book? Somebody gave you a book and told you about it and said what a great book they thought it was, and you started reading it, and it just wasn't kind of your kind of book. So you read through the first part and you go like, this is kind of boring to me. So you turn to the middle of the book and you kind of say, oh, well, what's going on in the middle? Maybe it's gotten better in the middle. And that, and you read a little bit in the middle and then you kind of go like, that didn't get any better either. And that. So you always go to the end and read the end of the book. So in case somebody ever asks you what happened, you go like, yeah, I know what happens. In the end, this guy so-and-so did this and that, and wasn't it great? And that, you know, that's why they invented cliff notes, you know, so you could cheat. You could look smarter than what you actually were because you could just get the cliff note and read the version of it on the deal. So that's kind of me and the way, the difference in my wife and me as far as reading goes. My wife is much more the scientist of the whole group. She gets into reading about the science of everything and how it all works and what things are going on in the science world and, you know, diets and everything and macronutrients and micronutrients and how many grams of this you should be having and how many ounces of this you should have and everything else. And for me, I'm kind of like, man, did you read this book? This guy went out and climbed Everest and darn near died and come back, but he didn't die, so let's just go ahead and go out the door and see what we can do out here, because this is pretty cool and that. So that's kind of the difference in the way you read. But when you do that and you read only parts of the book, you really miss out on a whole bunch. So today, you heard the beginning, you heard some from the middle, and you heard some from the end. But there's a whole bunch of other stuff that went on in between. A whole bunch of stuff that makes the Bible what the Bible is. It tells us about the joys and the struggles that God's people have been through. And it begins to resonate with me that this last year maybe wasn't so unique after all. You know, we start looking about the joys and concerns, and sometimes what we want to do is we want to just put our heads down and go forward. Many times when I'm out racing, my feet hurt, I'm tired, I'm thirsty, I'm hungry, and all I can think about is just getting through the end of the race and that. So I put my head down and just say, I'm just going to keep going until I get across the finish line. And then you get across the finish line, and people start asking, did you see the eagle's nest down by the river when we were paddling? Did you see the deer along the river? Did you see the beaver in the river? As we were hiking the mountains, did you see your teammate reach down and grab the hand of the other one and help him up over a difficult section? You know, if you keep your head down, you miss all that. Because you see, it got away from being the journey to just being the end. The journey is the important part. The end is just part of it. So, this year, when we look at 2020, I won't say it's been the worst that we've seen of mankind, but it's going to rank pretty close up there to the top, I would say. Saw too many people killed, too much property destroyed, too much hate. And we have a tendency to look at that. And when we look at it, we have a tendency to say, "Is I just want it to be gone." And then you throw in a pandemic on top of that, where you get isolation, and you can't be with family members like you used to be, and you can't celebrate the holidays like you used to be. People died, and we can't go to their funerals. People got married, and we couldn't go to their weddings. And what we want to do is kind of put our head down and say, like, if I can just get through the end of 2020, I know I'm going to wake up on January 1st. And when I wake up, I'm going to turn the news on. And what's going to happen? They're going to tell me the pandemic is over. I can get out and go back. The restaurants will be open. There'll be a picture on there of a sailor kissing a girl on the deal. And life will be good. It will return to normal. But you know, I just don't think that's going to happen. But we focused so much this year on the ugly and the bad that we forgot to look at the good that happened this year. For unto us a child was given. Amanda and John brought a cutest little girl into the world. And it's been a blessing to Tom and Melanie. We've seen technology allow us to communicate in ways that we didn't think we could communicate before this. We can do our board meetings and see the facial expressions. We can do our elders meeting and see the facial expressions of our elders and determine whether things are being accepted or whether they're not. We can communicate with our families this way. Many times we can see them at their house while we're at our house, but we can still enjoy the joys and what's going on. We learned how to do some things that we'd kind of forgotten how to do. We called people. We were in our own isolation and we reached out and we called people. We asked them how they're doing. People that we hadn't called or hadn't reached out to in years past because, well, life was normal and they were busy. They had kids. They had kids' functions to do. They had all this stuff going on. But now they don't have all this stuff going on. They're in isolation. So let's just give them a call and find out what's going on. And we did that. And what we found out is people are doing good. People are doing not so good. But what we did find out is the phone call made a difference. We created in record time a vaccine to try and eliminate this awful virus. Now, whether you believe in taking the vaccine or not is neither here nor there. It's the fact that it was a miracle that we were able to develop this in this time frame and get it put together. And yes, medical science did the work. But the idea and the fortitude and the ability to do that came from God. You see, each and every one of you is your own book, your own story. God created each and every one of you separately, just like he did when he created the heavens and the earth and the vegetation. He created each and every one of you for a purpose on this earth. And that purpose may not to be stand up here in front and visit with you or play the piano or play the organ or do whatever. It may be to just give a smile, to call someone and ask them how they're doing, to reach out and do something nice for somebody. That's what the calling's about. So 2020 goes away here in a few days. And most of the time people will say is, I can't wait for it to be over. But as we finish out the rest of this year and we move into 2021, don't put your head down. Don't miss out on the joys and the beauty that we have around that God shares with us. Because when you get that joy in you, we all like to share that joy with others. So as you enter 2021, be filled with joy. Keep your head up. Yes, we've struggled. But you know what? Throughout the whole Bible, people struggled. But God was always there, and he always will be there. Amen. I appreciate everybody coming. I hope everybody had a very Merry Christmas this year. And I wish you all a Happy New Year and look forward to seeing you in the coming year. Let us sing our closing hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem, one verse. Thank you. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank you for the beauty that you have bestowed upon us and the joy that you have given. We ask that you bless each and every one of us so that we may spread your joy amongst all the world. Happy New Year, God, and Happy New Year to everyone. Amen.